One announcement I forgot to make. The ladies' meeting in November will be on the 13th, and they're going to bring things for the Awana's store. So there'll be a list coming out on next week's bulletin on what the Awana's store needs. Joshua chapter 24. Verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Will you pray with me? Father, this morning we ask you to take your word and apply it to our hearts, to guide us in our study, Lord, to strengthen us, to, Father, become aware of this world and what's going on in it. Help us, dear Lord, in thy name we pray. Amen. We're going to venture outside our study in John today, and mainly today's sermon, although many of the ladies will pick up much from this, is directed at the men. And I want you guys to be awake and aware today. In fact, ladies, if you see your husband doze off, smack him. Be just fine. Just wake him right up. Poke him. Do something. We're going to talk today about a man's obligation to society. Tuesday night, for a couple of months now, actually, I've been very challenged on where we as men are going, as Christian men, what our obligations are, what we need to be doing. Tuesday night, I went to a banquet for New Life Pregnancy Center, and the speaker there challenged men, and it really brought an awareness to me that it's time to speak to the men. So this morning, guys, I want you to listen up. We have some obligations that the ladies don't have. We've been challenged and instructed and commanded by God to do some specific things. This applies to husbands. It applies to single men. It applies to everyone. God has given us an obligation to walk in a direction that would take our families, those who we will someday marry, for our nephews and nieces, to lead them towards a direction that God has given us. You know, we live in a society today where roles have been totally reversed in many situations. Men have become simply the part of the family unit. They're no longer identified as the spiritual leaders in that unit. In fact, the world rejects that thought that a man is a spiritual leader. One thing to get a hold of, if that's your way of thinking, is the world's thoughts are not God's thoughts. God said to the prophet Isaiah, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways." Society cannot redesign what God has put in effect. They can warp it and bend it. They can shape it their own direction. They can take it where they want to. But it will not change God's expectations. And men, we have some expectations on us. We have taken a world today and allowed this world to put our Savior into a position of neutrality where He is to share His glory with people like Buddha or Muhammad. With the Hindu gods, we have allowed this happen on our world where our Savior has been neutralized, if you will, in our minds, although you cannot neutralize God. We've allowed it because we men have become complacent in our responsibility and become so concerned with our image that we have allowed our world to take our children down a path where they're rebelling now and they have nowhere to go. We see the gangs become so large because the children have no home unit. We see the gangs become so large because the church is not stepping into the void and the gap, which is what the church is for. The church is to present Christ to the world. There has always been an issue in the world of the family group breaking down. That's not new to society. But what is new is there's no organization called the church stepping in to fill those gaps for those children who have no hope and no love in their homes. But we see those children going in a direction of rebellion. Our children are now being taught in schools that what's wrong is right, what's right is wrong. They're told to condone what is absolutely morally wrong in this world. Our media teaches our children a position of complacency as far as morality and sexuality is concerned. We have evolved into a society of rejection of God's rules because the men, the Christian men, have not stood up and said, "Me and my house, we will serve the Lord." This morning is going to take you through some steps in the Bible, and it's going to come to one conclusion for you, that it takes one man to make one decision to change the world. That's all it takes, is one man being willing to make the decision. I want to point a couple things out to you because there's been some abuses in religious history and even, I think, somewhat in the Baptist churches to take the position of a man and elevate it to a position of absolute authority and dictatorship and tyranny. That's not what God says in the Bible. It says that a man is the spiritual authority in his home. It does not say he imposes his personal wants and dislikes on the family. As we go through this morning, we are to lead our family in a direction that God had designated, but we do not become God in the family. We are to lead our family to their God, not to leave a sour taste in their mouth because we try to act like God. We have a responsibility to be the leaders in our home that Joshua was in his. And something I want to point out to you. Joshua said, as he addressed the nation of Israel, he made the statement, "You must decide today who you'll serve. Will you serve the God of your fathers before the flood, Jehovah God? Are you going to serve the God of the Amorites?" Then he made a statement, "As for me and my family, we will serve the Lord." Do you understand what Joshua said? He did not make the decisions on what color chariot to buy for the family, what color robes they had in the closet, what kind of food they had in the pantry. He made a spiritual decision. "As for me, me and my house, we will follow the Lord." That's the whole outline of a Christian man's responsibility. We are to lead our family in a decision to follow Lord God. We are responsible for that decision. We have no excuse or no out. Some men would say to me, "You don't understand the personality of my family, Pastor." I don't care what the personality of your family is. The dynamics do not change our responsibility as the men in the family. As again, pointing to Joshua, he did not become a tyrant in his home. He became a spiritual leader. And you know what he led out of? He led out of respect. See, Joshua was a man of God. He followed God. He went across that old Jordan River. He led those people into their promised land. He served God each day. Before his family and before his people, he could stand and they respected him. They knew that when he said, "I follow God," it means I follow God all the time, not at my convenience. But we men now have chosen a path that, yeah, I'm real godly when things are the way I want them. But if there's something that'll keep me out of church on Sunday, that I'd rather do a football game or a hunting trip or a picnic or whatever it is, if we choose that, folks, men, fathers, understand that is exactly what your children will decide is okay. Don't compromise your spiritual authority in the home when you don't set the example there to follow. Joshua listened to the word of God on a daily basis. Joshua prayed on a daily basis. Joshua sought God's counsel on a daily basis. And because of that, he was able to say, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Because he had established himself as a spiritual leader, as a godly man. He had made that determination. Joshua also understood he could not make the children of Israel follow God. In our homes, men, we cannot force our family to do the right thing. You know that? We can't force them. We have no right to force them. You can't hog tie and drag your wife and children to church. Not your right. But you can say, in my home, we will follow God's instruction. You have that right. As for your responsibility is that your family is in an environment that makes them desire to go to church and follow God's word. Joshua knew he couldn't tell the nation of Israel, you will follow God. He could only account for himself and his house. Because at that point in time, he had the moral authority to do that. You know, guys, in the Bible, over and over and over again, as we go through these scriptures today, man is established as a spiritual leader. Men are gifted as the preachers. Men are given the responsibility as deacons in the church. But guys, I want you, if you don't hear anything else this morning, I want you to hear this. Every one of you, stop what you're doing and listen. It doesn't say anywhere that a woman wouldn't do a better job. You understand that? But it says it's our job. Okay? Doesn't say anywhere a woman wouldn't be a better preacher. Doesn't say anywhere a woman wouldn't be a better deacon. Doesn't say anywhere a woman wouldn't be a better spiritual leader in the home. But it doesn't say the woman's obligation is the man's. So before you get on too much of a high horse on your special position, understand it doesn't say you're the best at it. It says it is your position to fill. That's tough. Sometimes we tend to think that we have some divine gift that makes us spiritually superior to those around us. We don't. We don't. Mike Ranspott, I love Mike's saying. He was the pastor that started Taos Valley Baptist Church 24 years ago. He makes a saying this, that some of the best men in Baptist churches today are women. Because the men are not what God has told them to be. Because the men don't stand up and say, for me and my house, we will follow the Lord. What a scary thing that is. How do we do this? How do we get ready to be the spiritual leaders in the home? Say, preacher, yeah, tell me what I got to do, but how we do it. We're going to flip over to Ephesians chapter 6 in your Bibles, if you would. Ephesians chapter 6. Go to verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, after and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the word of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Paul gives some mighty instruction to the Ephesians. And I believe this passage is very pertinent to the Christian man who wants to have a Christian home, or to the Christian single man who wants to establish a Christian home. Paul gives a description of armor, and who wears armor but warriors, those who are ready to fight. You see, the man of God scripturally is a warrior. We fight a battle every day. We fight against the principalities that surround us, but we fight against our own flesh. And let me make a qualifying statement here that's going to get rid of a whole bunch of our excuses. Guys, again, I want you to hear this. If you're fighting the same battle every day without any results, you got a real problem. Understand that? If you're fighting the same battle every day without any results, you've got a problem. Because with the strength of God on our side, the battle becomes easier and easier and easier. We may have afflictions or oppressions. We may have temptations or challenges. But if you're wrapped up in the same battle every day and you're not moving forward, then understand Satan is winning the battle. Because until you move forward against what's going on, and folks, it's not I'm going to quit tomorrow thing. It's not I'm going to cut back. It's a matter if you're fighting a battle of the flesh and against the principalities of this world and you're not moving forward, then Satan is winning the battle. See, we serve a God that is so big, there is no battle you can face He can't win. And if we're not winning the battle, it means we're not leaning entirely on Him for direction and instruction and guidance. What does he start out in verse there 10 telling us? How does Paul warm up to the armor of God? He tells us this. Finally, my brethren, in other words, I'm closing out this letter to you, but I'm going to make a key point. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. How much power does your God have? How much power do you use? How much power do you call on? How much power are you allowing Him to show you? How many times are you strong in the Lord? Guys, understand this. We are wimps. And as long as we're counting on ourselves, it's a lost cause. It's to be strong in the Lord. How does a man be strong in the Lord and be a spiritual leader in his home? He leads his family to the direction the Lord has shown him. You know, as a pastor, something scares me very much, folks, that in the past few years, I used to get, in counseling sessions, I'd get a lot of men coming in and sitting down with me and saying, Pastor, I need help. You know what's scary? I'm getting more and more women coming to me with that question. Now, what does that tell me? Absolutely. And in the homes the man is in, you know what's going on? Satan's attacking the woman because the man is not being the spiritual leader in the home. The woman is. If she's being attacked by Satan, now don't get me wrong, we all get attacked by Satan. You got that? Every one of us. That's what goes on in this world. He says there, we fight principalities there and all. But in a home, who do you think Satan focuses on the most? Does he focus on the spiritual follower or the spiritual leader? Who do you think? Then why are the women getting attacked in the homes? Because the men aren't identified as the leader anymore. And it's not the women's fault, guys. Don't tell me women's lib and the feminist movement and all that's changed things. What's changed things is we don't step up and be the men God told us to be. Again, in a moment, I'll take you to a place that says if one man would have stood up, it would change the world. But I see Satan coming after the women in the home. I see Satan going, you know, understand, Satan is to be feared. Okay? Don't cut him short. None of us here today have the power Satan has. But we all here today that know the Lord have the power to call on a God who's much bigger than Satan. Okay? But what I want you to understand about Satan, he can only be at one place at a time. You got that? We think that there's this being that's all over the world, but he's not omnipresent. He's not omniscient. He's in one space at a time. So when you're getting attacked, it's not always Satan. Sometimes it's your own flesh. It could be one of his demons. But many times what we face is the weakness of our flesh. When we as men don't step up and say, I'm going to be the man that God called me. See, we're in a world that if you don't see it falling apart around us, guys, you're blind. You're blind. Now, I may say a couple of things that make some of you mad, but that's okay. I hope you'll still love me. We are living in a world where my president has not been to church since he was sworn in. Am I condemning him with that? No. That's his decision. But I tell you what, I am scared that I'm not able to call on godly men to lead our country. And it's not the president by himself. It's the senators and the congressmen and everybody else on both sides of the aisle who have forgotten that men are to be godly creatures first and then pursue the things of the world after they've established themselves with God. That's where a man's supposed to be. And our world has fallen apart because of it. Did you know the term New World Order, okay, used by George H. Bush for the first time about 12 years ago? So Dems, Republicans, you have both got some clowns in your party. All right, I don't like either one. New World Order. We're in a New World Order. See, we're in an order, a world where Christ comes second and man's pursuits come first. We're in a world where the name Jesus Christ means nothing. It can't even be spoken in the schools. We're in a world that's fallen apart because the leadership of the world won't stand up and say, I follow Jesus Christ. We're in a world that has killed 53 million babies. We're in a world that doesn't follow God. Saw a great bumper sticker a couple of weeks ago. I may have told you about it. Said on this bumper sticker, how can God bless a nation that kills its babies? You ask me how. You know, that's a good question, isn't it? If we're to pray to God for blessing, how can God bless us if we're not doing what He says? And He says, thou shalt not kill. It's all because we men have not stood up and said, I will follow my Lord. It's our fault. Don't blame the evil of the world. Don't blame the darkness of the world. Blame the fact that we Christians are still playing. We're so tied up in our own troubles that we can't get out of the door to go out and do what God told us to do. Because we keep losing the little battles at home because we won't follow God. You want to know why your families don't respect you, men? You want to know, and I'm not saying that's true of you, group. I'm saying this for those who hear this on the internet. I'm saying it for those who may not know. If your family doesn't respect you, if they tolerate you, it's because you are not the spiritual leader in your home. That's the why. He said here in this, he tells us about an armor to put on. Verse 13, it says, take on two... Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. How much of the armor of God are you supposed to put on? Wow. You know, us guys love going to a hardware store. Buy a power saw here and a tape measure there. A new hammer on that wall and a saw over here. It's an exciting adventure. It really, I've always thought that men ought to have, you know how women have home interior parties? I want to have home exterior parties. You get power saws and planers and all that stuff. Wouldn't it be great? And we try to apply that same selective process to our armor. Well, Lord, today I don't want my feet shod with the gospel. Today I don't want the helmet of salvation. I want little pieces of it, Lord. Paul says, put on the whole armor of God. But society tells us what we should and shouldn't do. They tell us what is okay and sociably acceptable. Don't you hate the way it messes with your head? You know, I've made some decisions. You know, when my phone rings and I'll call her ID, it says unknown number. I won't answer because if I answer it, it's now unknown number and I've messed things up for you, okay? If it says private caller, I'm not going to answer. You know why? Because if I answer, it's no longer private. There's two of us involved. So I'm going to save you that. I'm going to leave it alone. And if you don't know your number, if you're not smart enough to know your number, it says unknown number, why would I want to talk to you? I'm not going to answer the phone. Did you know that of those who changed to Allstate Insurance, they saved an average of $300? Isn't that exciting? So what does society do? They run out and grab the phone and call Allstate to get a quote. Well, that's not what it said. It said those who changed. There may be a 90% didn't change, but of the 10% that did, say three, we get so messed with in our heads. You know, I watched an ad the other day for this silly little thing on TV. I can't remember exactly what it did. It's one of these widget goodies. And it did something really stupid. And it says, as seen on And CNN, there's only three letters, I can get that one right. As seen on that, and it showed this across the TV. I thought, wow, Then I thought, those clowns, they ran an ad on CNN, and now they can claim it was seen on CNN. They mess with our heads out there, don't they? But guys, if you have the armor of God on, you know what? Your path will be true. Your mind will be focused. Your life will be where it should be. But we've allowed ourselves to become selective in this armor of God. Paul says, put on the whole armor of God. Ask you a question. When do you think you ought to put it on each day?
Never take it off.
Well, yeah. You could sleep in it. Your wife may not be happy in the bed there with that. But you should never take it off. But Paul's saying, get it on. Because if you're protected, you can serve. If you serve, you can learn to do what? Lead. How many guys I meet in my life are going to jump in and be the leaders? They've never followed anybody anywhere. They've got not a clue on how to serve. They simply want to lead. If you serve God, you can lead your family. Do you understand that? If you serve God, you can lead your family. This armor is quite a thing. 14, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth. Wow. That means you're bundled up with truth, guys, the truth of Jesus Christ, and you'll live in truth. The breastplate of righteousness. Do you know what that big word righteousness means? Simply means to do the right thing. Do you know what a Christian always tries to do? The right thing. If in your life you have a decision or a choice to make, you choose the right thing. Men, if you choose the right thing, your family will learn the right thing is the right way to go. Okay? That's what being a spiritual leader is. You know what? Guys, you can learn all 66 books of the Bible and recite it backwards. And if you're not an example, your information is empty and useless. It is learning to be a servant of God in truth. 15, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Stay stable by knowing the gospel. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Oh, this scares me. Us guys think we can take on anything that comes our way. You can't. Unless you have the shield of faith, you can't take on what Satan throws at you. It takes faith. See, the Roman shield was the first of its kind in battle. It was capable of taking on an enemy, and when they would fire an arrow that the tip was lit, a fiery arrow, it actually would take that arrow and the arrow would extinguish itself off the shield. That's what Paul's alluding to here, is that if we take on the shield of faith, that whatever Satan shoots at us, it might hit us, but it will extinguish itself. It can go no farther than our faith. Guys, quit thinking that you can handle anything that comes your way. You can't. We can't. I get some great spiritual advice out of that little lady's mouth right there. You know that? Carmelita's always saying something very profound to me. I never let her know I heard her, but I hear it. I say, huh? No. Listen to your wife. Let them help you learn. Because remember, they might be able to do a better job than you do. It's just not their job to do. Be willing to listen. Proverbs 29:18 tells us something, folks. It says that without vision, people are dead. It's talking about the vision of a society, but it also applies to the vision of the home. What vision does your home have, men? Does it have a vision to follow and serve God? Or does it have a vision of bouncing up once a month and making it to church? Does it have a vision of following righteousness and sharing time together in Scripture? Does it have a vision of feeding together on the Word of God, of sharing, of learning, of preparing yourselves? Does it have that vision? If it doesn't, then the family is dying off. I ask you fishermen, you hunters in here something, okay? How much work is there to find that, get to and find that right spot to catch fish, Bob? You go, okay. But the preparation, you got to get your rod and your reel, your tackle, your bait, drive where that place you and Katie go that's, yeah, go out all that place. How many times, guys? How many fishermen we have in here first? How many hunters? How long does it take to stalk the right elk? Steve, you're a bow hunter. You go after elk with a stick and a string. And how much work is there into doing that? A lot of work. Got to scout. Find the place. Scout it out. Get the equipment. Talk your wife into a new bow. Again, Steve's my hero. He got a new bow last year. He is my hero. But there's a lot of work in it, isn't it? How many of you put that much effort into instructing your family in the Word of God? How many of you have taken as much time as it takes to find the right fish or the right animal to find a lost person to lead to the Lord? How many? I love to hunt, guys. I love to hunt. I enjoy it. And I have to honestly say, many times I put more effort into going hunting than I do in going witnessing. But yet the men of the family are challenged to spread the Word of God. We're instructed in Scripture. We're identified as a spiritual leader. What should a spiritual leader do? He should lead. He should witness. He should provide examples for his children. Fathers, you are entrusted with the most precious belonging God has to give. Your children. If you're not being a righteous man in your home, what are you going to tell God when he sits down to talk with you someday? What are you going to tell him? You're going to say, Lord, I was going to get it right. And he's going to say, you know what? I gave you every tool you needed. I gave you my armor. Every tool you need to get ready and to fight the battle. What do we do? And believe me this morning, when I say, guys, I'm talking about the pastor. I'm just as short in all of these areas I'm talking to you about as you guys are. And I'm not saying all of you fall into this. Some of you may be godly men in your home. Some of you may be already spiritual leaders. Some of you may have overcome these battles in your life so you can get busy and do what God said to do instead of wasting all your time on the personal little things that God could whip for you. But I am saying as a whole, men, I see more women being attacked by Satan than I ever have. Because the men are no longer the spiritual leaders in the land or in the home. It's not happening the way it's supposed to. Guys, it's not something to jump up and down and tell your wife, look at my shiny armor. It's to jump up and down and say, wife, I need you. I need your support. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter. What a chapter. We've heard it, we've talked it, we've taught it, we've proclaimed it, we've time after time after time in pulpits across the world. There's one phrase in there that says, love is kind. What does that mean to you? Love is kind. It's got all those qualities, but it doesn't hurt people, does it? Love is kind. Boy, if we could summarize what agape love up, would it not be that love is kind? It doesn't inflict pain. It's a gentle leadership. It's a gentle guiding hand. It's not wasting your time, folks, arguing, bickering, and fighting. It's getting on the path to God and His service. It's realizing that, in all honesty, Bob brought it up this morning. I say this so many times, but I've got to say it again. This church gathers on Wednesday nights to pray for people. We get requests from all over town. Many of you send in requests to Wednesday night service. And I will say this as black and white as I can. Why aren't you here? Praying yourself. Men, why aren't you leading your families to a time of prayer in God's house? Why? Because society says we don't need to do that anymore. Things have changed. We're in a new society. Why? Because man, and I've told you this again, we studied Romans. Understand this, Christians. People do not want to get saved. The natural man, the carnal man, doesn't want salvation. It's totally alien to what we are. So when you talk to somebody about the Lord, understand they don't want to know. Now, the power of the Holy Spirit may convict them and make them want to know, but the natural man is an enemy of God's. The carnal mind is enmity against God. And we're getting suckered into that trap. We're getting suckered in to the thing the world has that says, if you got to do the socially acceptable thing, make church once a week, you know, let your neighbors see you there. Us Christians are falling into that trap. God said, don't abandon the gathering of the saints as some have. Hebrews 10:25, you ever want to take time to see how important church is, you go there and look. Now I want to take you to the place that I've been leading up to, if you will. If you will, let me tell you about Romans 5:12 first, and I want you to hold on to this. Paul said in Romans 5:12 that through one man, sin entered the world. Okay? Guys, I want you all to hear this. It does not say one woman brought sin on the world. It says, through one man, that was Adam. So get that straight. Eve's mistake did not bring sin into the world because sin traveled through the seed of man. We brought it into the world. Now, if you will, turn over to the book of Genesis.
Was it so much that we brought it, or was it just that we accepted it?
It was brought through man. The Bible explicitly states it was carried through the seed of Adam down through time. Let me finish up here and I'll tell you about it. Genesis chapter 3. One through, I believe, six. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Through the act of Adam that day, sin came into the world. It was a perfect world. Guys, I want you to understand the implication of what we just read. If Adam would have said, honey, it's not the right thing. If he just said, let's go talk to God and beg his forgiveness for what you've done. We can't do that, Eve. We know God has instructed us not to. If on that one day, for that one moment in time, if one man would have said no, sin would not have entered the world. How many of our acts in one day are we affecting the future of our family and our children? Because that one act, we didn't stop and say, no, it's not the right thing. That's all it took that day, is one man, one time, saying, no, God told us not to do it. Do you realize what a change that would have brought to this world? Now, I can't guarantee you that someone else wouldn't have sinned later because God gave free will. But we know by Bible, by the Scripture, that as all sin entered the world through men, all salvation comes through one man, that was Jesus Christ. But if on that day in the garden, if that man would have had, you know where Adam really fell short? He didn't protect his family. You know that? You know, Ephesians 5 tells us, guys, you're supposed to wash your wife in the Word of God. That this is what protects and cleanses her. This is what keeps her safe. Understand that? It's your direction, not mine, from me to you, but from God. Do you realize if Adam would have taken the time to protect his wife, Satan couldn't have got to her? If he had been with her, if when the serpent approached her, her husband would have stepped onto the scene and says, come on, let's go. If he had fulfilled his obligation, why does it say in that same book, it says when Eve was brought by Adam's rib, Adam says, for this cause shall a man leave his mother and father and cleave unto his wife, and they shall become one flesh. It doesn't say a woman leaves mother and father, does it? It says a guy. You know why it says that? Because guys, we have to leave everything behind when we step out as a leader in our home. Everything. We don't hold on to the past. We get a hold and protect the present, our precious children and our wives. If we would do that, do you realize our families would be strong? Do you realize the ministry outreach of this church would double if the men realize what it is when God says, go ye therefore and teach all nations? Do you realize the impact this church would have on the community if the men in this church stood up and said, I'm going to be what God instructed me to be? Do you realize what we would be? Guys, we used to run a men's prayer breakfast. We get three or four guys, five sometimes. I finally canceled it. Why did I cancel it? Maybe I was wrong. But I canceled it because the men of the church aren't stepping up. I canceled it because when you devote something to God, you devote your all. It's not a partial hit or miss thing. But the men of this church have got to get up and be the leaders. We've got to reclaim our families as leaders, not as tyrants. We've got to reclaim our country as Christians. We've got to take back what's been taken from us because we handed it over. You know, a couple weeks ago, one of our esteemed senators voted in committee to shoot down an amendment, the Hatch Amendment, which would have stopped federal funding for abortion. He voted against it. I don't understand that. So I sent him an email, and all I put in was, so disappointed. So disappointed you won't protect the life of an unborn child. I'm not here to reform this country politically. It's not my job. I am here to tell you this, and I want every person to get this in their minds. If you go against God's word, you're going to pay God's price. Men, we must take our country back to a land of serving God. We must take young women like Brenna and offer them Christian men. You know that? We must help her find young Christian men out there. But us older Christian guys are not setting the examples that brings up young Christian men. We must take little girls like Lav and Miel, Ben, and we must instill in them a sense of responsibility and a hope and be able to give them hope that there's young Christian men coming up. Young men like Zach back here that know that the Lord is the way to go. We must bring more young men for our families to have hope, and young Christian women also. We must take back our land. We cannot sit and say to our children and our wives, I'm a godly man, I follow the Lord, yet we support abortion. No. We follow this Bible. I don't care what your politics is. I don't care what your feelings are. If the Bible says it's wrong, it has not changed from the beginning of time. The writer of Hebrews tells us God was the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. The implications, the commandments, the rules of His Word do not change. So don't let society fool you. We have a moral obligation, men, to be the leaders in our home, in our country, in our land. Today as we close, we're going to sing number 100. Please stand. I want you to understand something. If those thousands of years ago, one man would have said no, the world would be different. Now, men, I ask you today, can you be the man that says no to what's going on in our world? Number 100, bow your heads, close your eyes, please. Father God.